Because I have suffered. A way will be made for them. Because of this trial and this suffering, a price has already been paid. And they will arise and enjoy that way. They will walk in that way. Because it has not been in vain. It has not been in vain. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And then stretch forth your hand and declare that how, read that last verse for me.
Is the Lord to bruise him.
The very last verse.
And the pleasure of the Lord.
He shall prosper in his hands. The pleasure of the Lord, he shall prosper in my hands. That thing that God enjoys, that thing he wills, that is hope. It will prosper. It will find expression. Everything that is the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in my hands. It will prosper. The pleasure of the Lord, if it is winning souls, it will prosper in my hands. If it is for souls to be delivered from under the power of Satan, it will prosper in my hands. If it is to feed those who are lacking, it will prosper in my hands. If it is to open the eyes of the blind, it will prosper in my hands. The pleasure of the Lord will prosper in my hands. God will find me a partner that is fruitful. A fruitful land indeed. That any seed he has sown, it will bring fruit abundantly, a hundredfold return. Oh yes, my life will yield fruit unto the Lord. Every investment that the Lord has made in my life will bear fruit in return. Abundant fruit and fruits that will remain. And the plans of the Lord shall prosper in my hands. Indeed. The pleasure of the Almighty, it shall prosper. It shall prosper. It means that there will be no blockade, there will be no barricade, there will be no checkpoint. There will be nothing to stop it. It will prosper. It will prosper. It will succeed. It will succeed. The pleasure of the Lord, it shall prosper in my hands. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please take that first verse again. That's Isaiah 53, verse 7. Yes.
He was oppressed. And he was afflicted.
Yet
he opened not his mouth.
It's okay, sir. Please, another person, Daniel chapter 3, 23 to 25. Daniel 3, 23 to 25.
And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Fell down. Bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?
Is there anybody right now that feels like there is fire on the mountain? Abi? I don't think there's any of us here that don't have somewhere where the thing is burning us. I'll be now. Because everybody have one story. Whether it's at home, whether it's in the marriage, whether it is in the work, in the working place, whether it is in the school, there is a place where the fire is on the mountain. And the thing is burning seriously. Abi? This one, they bound them. Three of them, they tied their feet and all. Tying your feet means that in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that fire, there is nowhere to run to, no escape. Now there you go, Dale. The thing go burn. You have tried to escape and run. The thing did not quench. You have tried to seek help in all manner of places. No show. The thing has still been burning. And so they cut them, they bound their feet, and they cast them into the fire. Continue.
He answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire.
Fire. When they bound his feet, was it their intention for him to be walking? They won't turn into Suya now, make it just by there. It was never in their mind that they will be walking freely. Continue. But I see four men walking in the midst of the fire.
And they have no
horse. And they were not hot at all.
And the form of the fox
was like the Son of God.
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning.
It's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. The mind and the purpose of God for you and me is that we become like Christ. The highest goal of God is that you become conformed to the image of Jesus. If God has any number one plan number one ambition and goal in your life, in my life, is that all of us will resemble Jesus. It's not about coming to heaven. It's not that you will die and come to heaven. Because even this heaven we are talking, it will still pass away according to the Bible. The heaven and the earth, they will pass. A new heaven and earth will come. So it's not just about dying, managing ourselves and just suffering this world and then going to heaven when we die. No. Because if it was like that, he should have taken us to heaven immediately we became born again. And not left us here to be passing through all these things. But he left us here partly because there is what is called the journey of sanctification. It is a processing ground in order to begin to bring us to resemble Jesus. The ultimate goal of God in your life and in my life is that you will become like Jesus. You will resemble him in character. You will resemble him in attitude. You will resemble him in thinking. You will resemble him in posture. In everything, you will resemble him. Because Jesus himself resembles the Father. When they said to Jesus, they said, "Show us the Father." He said, "Have I been this long with you people that you'll be asking me such a question? He that has seen me has seen the Father." And so Jesus too, God has too, has the intention that you and me, we are going to resemble Jesus. Hallelujah. But here is the challenge. What does Jesus look like? What does Jesus look like? Hallelujah. There are many dimensions to Christ. And the reality is, because of this thing that God has in his mind, everything available to use to achieve that goal, he will use it. Hallelujah. God is always looking for every opportunity that will come your way, that will come his way, in order to change you, to conform you to the image of Jesus. Many things that you will look at as a trial, as a problem, as a challenge, in the hand of God and in the view of God, it is an opportunity for him to make you to be like Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Don't worry. Don't worry. No go tear. I go figure him out later. Amen. Amen. No matter your prayer point, no matter what you're asking God for, you know, even if we say, "Oh, the Bible said that he will not, he will do all the will and give me all the pleasure of my heart and all and all and all." The number one priority of God is that even if he will answer any prayer for you and do anything for you, that thing should be aligned with his divine will of bringing you to be like Jesus at the end of the day. That's his calculation. That's why at times, even if you ask him for some things to go in a direction, he will not accept or he will not even answer at that time because there is something that is higher than that is already programmed for you. Amen. But here's the thing about Jesus. How does Jesus look? Jesus is multifaceted. There are many dimensions to his character, to his nature, to his person. There is a nature and a resemblance of Jesus that is in the fourth man. Hallelujah. There is a fourth man. But that fourth man has address. The address is inside the fire. There is a level of Jesus and a space of Jesus and a side of Jesus you can never know in enjoyment. There is a side of Jesus you can't know in peace. There is a side of Jesus you cannot know when everything is fine in your life. There is a side of Jesus that you cannot become and resemble when all is well with you and there is no trial, no challenge, no anything. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you must really resemble Jesus, you must resemble him in all areas. That's why when Paul would pray his prayer, he said that I may know him. Abi? And what? The power of his resurrection. What in the fellowship of his suffering. If you are going to resemble Jesus in some way, shape, or form, you cannot avoid suffering. Hallelujah. And so even if you sing the song, "Me, I no go suffer." Abi? "I no go beg for bread." It not say make you beg, oh. But that one say you no go suffer and I lie. You go suffer. Do you know why you suffer? One time I was going through a very terrible challenge. There is a level of betrayal I saw that's high. I just look at everything. I say, what is the point of this whole life like this? You know, you will pass through some things. They go touch your bone. And where did I have to go? I only could go to the Father. And you know what I did? When I got to place of prayer, and I complained. Morning to night, I was complaining. Days, 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, I was complaining. He didn't see anything. No. Now just, I said, how can people be like this? How can this person do this thing? Upon all that I have done, upon all the love I have showed this person, upon all the way I've done everything, and all and all. And Nadia just, he did not even say, he let me talk for like 4 days. Then one particular day, like on the fifth day, the only thing he said, He said, this betrayal you are suffering, is it worse than the one Jesus suffered? That's the only answer he gave me. He said, is it worse than the one Jesus suffered? He said, oh, they betrayed you. Oh. You understand? Me, I was expecting him to be petting me and telling me that. My son is okay. Don't mind them. You know your mother, the way your mother will be so biased towards you. You know, she will even be abusing them. Don't worry, I will beat them for you. Eh? You know that kind of thing. He just said, okay, are you finished? He said, did I not too suffer betrayal? Did they not abandon me too? Did they not spit on me? The people that I love, that I laid down myself, that I sacrificed myself for, how did they treat me? Abi? How do you answer that? I just became quiet. There was nothing to say again now. Because he was just looking at me as if all this my complaint is equal to zero. Are you getting? There are some things you pass through and you begin. Look at what Job passed through. At one point, Seth decided, his wife even to say, look, Oga, just curse God now and die, because that's the best thing for you. This continuing, there are some things you pass through where you just, let death just come, there's no need again. Yes, we've been there. There are times we've been there where we wake up and we say, you know, I don't even want to wake up again. If it's possible, let me just be going now this night. It has happened like that many times. And then you wake up and you're annoyed because you're like, what's all this now? As in, have you never been there like that before? What's all this? Why am I continuing? Why are you waking me? Just allow me to be going, JJ. There are things in this life. Oh. Do you get? But here is the thing. There is nothing. The Bible said there is nothing you will face that will overcome you, because in all of it, God has weighed everything. He has checked everything. The one that he knows that you are going to be able to manage because he's there with you, he will permit it to come. But in permitting it to come, he has a purpose in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here is the problem. The other night, as I got up in the morning, I just prayed one small prayer as I was kneeling down, just trying to, the next thing he said, I should sit down, I should go and open so scripture. And he said, explaining some things. Hallelujah. You get to day and now when they suffer. Who day now where they enjoy everything with them? You're not suffering now. You're not going to eat it so far now. You enjoy. I'll be just. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you suffer pain, I suffered this pain and I began to ask the Lord. And he said, I should open this scripture, and I opened it. He said that in all the suffering that Jesus suffered, and Jesus really suffered. And you know the interesting thing about Jesus? In our own, when many of us suffer, part of that suffering is because of we have done something. Many of us are guilty in some kind. There is a kind of suffer you will suffer because you were disobedient, you were rebellious or something, and then you are suffering the implication or the result of that thing that you did. Hallelujah. There is also the kind of suffering that happens because life is just like that. Life is life. And in this life, there is no how where everything will be smooth. Amen. And then the kind of suffer that your enemy used to go and prepare for you down and keep. You know that one they used to prepare? They will prepare the mistake, prepare the whole thing, cook it very well. They will carry you, and their hope is that when they throw inside the oil, you will fry like akara. When you throw beans inside hot oil, and it's going to become akara. What's the common thing you used to hear most? Noise, ba? To be making noise. Ch-ch-ch-ch. Now, how are you going to say the fry akara with that? Many of us, what the enemy is looking for in our life, he has prepared the oil down. He has heated it very well. The hope is that when he throws us inside and he pushes us inside, noise will begin to come out of our life. Here's the thing. Praise cannot be coming out of your life and noise is coming out at the same time. The two can't go together because not only one mouth you get. Worship cannot be coming out of your mouth and murmuring and grumbling is coming out at the same time. It's not possible. And so the mind of the enemy is always to prepare you and put you inside one hot oil so that you too will be cursing God. You too will be telling God, have you never got to a stage where you have told God you are not faithful? Like if you have not seen some things. Have you never told God? One day God came and wake me up to say, so I said, what are you waking me for? I was passing through something. I said, well, why are you disturbing me? It's not like all the things I've been asking you have done now. So you're not going to wake me, go on your tail. Say, okay, yes, talk what you want to talk, and let me go. I'm going to be sleeping my sleep. Hallelujah. The enemy is always looking for a situation where you will be in trouble, where you will be in under fire, and at the... You know, he said to God about Job, he said, is it not because he's not suffering anything? You have hedged him everywhere around now. There is no way, but touch him now and see with something, whether he will not curse you. That was the issue now. And God looked at the whole thing, he said, okay, I will give you permission to touch some aspect of your life, but the only thing, you must not cross this boundary. You must not kill him. Abi, when Satan began to touch Job, what happened? What was the first thing he did? He went and killed all his children first, number one. He struck his economy first. He killed his children, his family. He began to move on him. Abi, did Job complain? Did Job complain? Open the book of Job. If you are there, Job chapter 3, verse 1. Did Job complain? Job 3, 1. Mommy, open Job 7, 15 to 16. Job 3, 1. Job 7, 15 to 16. And then Job 10, 1. There are so many parts of it, but let's just even read those three. Job chapter 3, verse 1. Job 7, 15 to 16. And then Job chapter 10, verse 1. Yes.
So that my soul chooses straightening and death rather than my life.
Uh-huh.
I lowered it. I will not live away. Let me alone, for my days are vanity.
Not be complained with that. He's saying that, look, I'd rather die and not even live this life again, because all these things are happening. The whole thing is vanity anyway. Job chapter... What again? 3 verse 1.
After this, Job opened his mouth.
Mm. After this, what happened? Job did what? He opened his mouth and he praised God, Abi. He opened his mouth and he worshiped God. What did he do? He cursed. You have not known so far until... The thing will touch your bone. You will open your mouth. What will come out of your mouth, you'll be surprised. But you will see what we read about Jesus in that Isaiah chapter 53. This happened. Something that marked Jesus in all of that thing, he did not open his mouth. He did not utter words. We want to resemble Jesus, but we don't know how to suffer well. Hallelujah. One of the things that God must achieve in your life, if he wanted to make you like Jesus. Sorry, I'm not telling you a prosperity message today, but this one will prosper your soul. One of the things you must understand is that there is a side of Jesus God wants to mold into your life. That part is the ability to be able to endure. The ability to be able to suffer and not open your mouth. Jesus was like, the Bible said in that verse, he said he's like the lamb that was, they were taken to the shearers. That's what my one version says in KJV. And he said, and he was what? He was silent. The other day when the Lord broke me and began to explain some things to me, one of the things he showed me is the last heavy sufferings I've suffered in the last 2, 3, 4 years, all I did most of those suffering was grumble. I really complained. You say Job didn't complain, but for 30 chapters of the book of Job, it was complaining. His friends were there with him, three of them. In fact, may you not be with the wrong people when you are suffering. This one we give him. He says, because you are like this, you are this. He said, no. He said, I'm justified. You know one of the reasons we open our mouth when there is trouble? We want to justify ourselves. Because nobody will ever accept that is the cause of the problem. They were telling Job, they said, no, there is something you did, secret sin somewhere. That is why the punishment. Job said, no, it's not like that. He began to justify, talk. The whole chapter was basbos. It was cho, for 30 chapters. And you say Job didn't complain. The only thing Job didn't do is that he didn't curse God, though. But the day he was born, he cursed. He cursed the ground. The water he was drinking, he cursed. May you not enter some kind of things. Are you getting the matter? Because you get where you go touch you reach. Now that time you go know it in there inside your belly. Because you go begin. Ha! Let me give you an example. One of the worst things that can happen to you. Maybe like for us now, we grew up in a home. My parents are very wonderful, very loving, had a wonderful marriage. A time came when some shaking came. You know, shaking will always come. No time when shaking will not come in this life. And so the shaking came. And because shaking came, way open and many things enter inside. Before you know, husband that was loving, wife became the enemy, husband became enemy. If you want to see pain, look for somebody who is going through the issue of separation. If you want to see pain, look for somebody who is going through the issue of divorce. If you want to see pain, look for somebody who has had children for a man and been married to the man and they have been, everything has been fine. One day the man wake up now, he decide that you will not be army again. And the worst part now be say, you not get money to manage yourself to take care of your children. Because you have left everything so that you can be his wife and manage him. And he have made him your business. The man will arise one day and decide that you are not. Have you not seen that kind of thing before? Ha. You will see man that you have been with, you used 15 years to spend all your earnings to make sure when this man was not earning kobo, you stood by him, you covered his shame, you did everything for this man. Nobody outside knew that there was anything wrong at all. Then God opened way for this man and you begin to prosper him and all and all. The next thing, this very same man is you now that is a winch that want to kill him now. Hallelujah. You not go open mouth that time. At the house now. You not go open mouth. Here's the problem many of us have. Because we are not yet conformed to the image of Jesus. You see this, our flesh. It gets where the thing go touch us, reach, our mouth go open. Our mouth go open. And you know one thing I see most, especially in marriages, especially Christian marriages now that are dissolving, we see a lot of it. I used to try to say to couples that even if you and your husband are having problem, you and your wife are having problem, one thing you should not do, the golden rule you should not do, as far as I'm concerned, don't bring these children inside the matter. Don't begin to say in their front, your father is a very foolish human being. You are opening mouth, but your father is a very foolish human being. Is this, is that. He too, we call them one side, and we say she's a winch. It sounds funny, but you know what you are doing? You are building bound barriers in their life. You are sending them out of the way. And you, as the woman, there is all this pain you are feeling inside you. You just feel like voicing out. Your own belief is that if you open your mouth and you voice out, it will reduce the thing. I've noticed that in these things, as long as you can continue to open your mouth for 3 years, it will not reduce the pain. It will not reduce it. It will continue. The more you find somebody who is willing to listen, the more you continue to talk. That talk never reduces the pain. You can spend 7 years talking about, and that 7 years you are talking about all the things the man has done wrong or the woman has done wrong, you are in the same place. You can't go anywhere. Because you, where they narrate the story, must remain to narrate. And your life will be on one point. The problem now becomes, when you open your mouth, and this is point number one, many times when we open our mouth, we tie other people down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter and he remained silent. He did not open his mouth. Many of us, fire have come, persecution have come. Here is the interesting thing. Sometimes, many times, it's not even the fault of anybody. Or it may even be your fault. But let's say, for example, in marriage, you two, when they told you, don't marry this man, you married him, and you entered the thing, that time you didn't hear what you took head inside, finish. After the thing had begun to scatter, even God, you will call his name self and begin to say, Baba, why did you allow this thing to happen? Because even the one that God even has allowed and approved and is his will, doesn't mean it to be easy. Amen. Only thing you now have is that when there is fire and challenge come, you can still call God because he's a witness between the two of you. And you can report the man or you can report the woman and he will referee you people and balance things. But it doesn't mean there will not be fire. Hallelujah. But many times when fire is coming and there is fire on the mountain and God allows you to be in fire, he wants to use that fire to begin to process some things in your life. He wants to begin to use that fire to make you to resemble Jesus that you are following. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know how many years God is prepared to wait for you to resemble Jesus? Who knows? How many years? It will be a lifelong journey. But the reality is, he wants you to learn fast But there are some things that are so important that you cannot, you will repeat that class and you continue to repeat it. 15 years, you'll be repeating that class. He will not move. Amen. Sometimes you say, ah, the enemy is, so many times, it's not even the enemy many times. Much as the enemy too is doing his own, it's not that God cannot overthrow his work. But there is something God is waiting to achieve in you in that season. One of the things that the Lord is trying to make you to achieve. Understand this matter. Mommy, Kola. There is always, in every trial that you are in every challenge you are in every fire that is burning you are in, Jesus is always there with you. Amen. Amen. Say, Jesus is there with me. Now, here is the thing. That trial and that challenge would have been worthwhile, as far as God is concerned, if when you were inside, you located the fourth man. Amen. One of my friends lost the husband some years ago. About 3 years ago, the husband died. And it was a very traumatic. They were very close. They were very, very close. You know the type of couples that they've even resembled to each other to the point that if this one died now, 30 minutes later, the other one will follow. Though that's the kind of couple they were. And then the husband died. Suddenly like that, from one small headache, before you know, they rushed into hospital, before you know he was gone. Hallelujah. And when the news came to me, it was so surprising. And the first thing I did was enter my corner. I began to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, why is so sudden? What happened? How come this guy? He told me, he said, he had to open the door to return him home now, so that I will not lose him in front. He said he's home with me. He said he's home with me here in heaven. He said he's in heaven with me. That's how he said it. What I understood, I even learned something that day. You can be in heaven and not be with him. Do you get? But then to be in heaven and be with him is even of a higher reward again. Because the whole goal of heaven is to be with him. That is actually what heaven is. And he said to me, he said, he's in heaven with me. And I began to say, okay, what is of your daughter now? How will she cope? And then he showed me my sister, that's my friend now. She was in her closet in her room. She was shedding tears heavily. In front of her on the table where she was sitting were all the pictures of the husband, their pictures together and all those things. Then I saw Jesus standing behind her with his hand on top of the chair. So she was grieving. Now he was there for her, but she didn't notice him. Was he present? He's always there with us to comfort us, to console us. But there's a higher level than just the comforting us. He wants to commune with us. And he began to explain to me, he said, I'm here for my daughter and I'm here for her. But in all of this, the grief has so much overtaken her that she cannot turn to notice I'm with her. Here is what would have happened in that situation. That time when she was in that greatest level of pain, the greatest opportunity for her to become so close to Jesus was the door was opened. Wallahi, from that day, if she had, in that season, been able to manage herself and turn to look at him and begin to, hearing his voice will become so simple for her. They will be like best friends. Are you getting what I'm saying? The idea then is that, even as painful as that situation was, something else will come out of it that will be a greater joy than even the loss that happened. Because if she had followed in with the Lord and began to commune with him at that level, do you know that that thing will not just be to our profit? The children and the destiny of the children will become aligned. Because what will happen again now? She doesn't need to look for any prophet, look for anybody, because the Lord is with her there all the time. In effect, he becomes her husband, in effect, because the Bible says Jesus is the husband of the widows. And so I called her and I told her, I said, see what the Lord said, that your husband, see where he is. In fact, she told me that his elder sister came to the hospital and it was exactly the same thing. I said, so it's a confirmation. I said, but see the second part. That Jesus is, I see the Lord, he has been standing behind you for so long, but your back is turned to him. And I told her, I said, don't grieve apart from him. The problem you will have in suffering and in any fire that is burning you is that you will miss the fourth man who is there, and you will be at, is the pain and the thing. Do you know what you'll be attending to? It's not my fault. Your own justification. How could they have treated me like this? After all that I have done for them. In all that thing you are saying, and you are engaged with, you are missing the key points of the whole thing. I don't know if I'm making any sense. It would have been, the loss would have been so much worse. And what you suffered would have been a waste. Why? Because in the middle of the suffering, The Jesus himself was there for you. And all you needed to do was to turn to find him. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm communicating this matter. Now, understand this matter. Is it that God wants us to suffer? No. But you see, in the suffering, there are opportunities. The first opportunity, Job said something in the book of Job 42. Read Job 42 for me. When you have time, go and read the book of Job from Job 1 all the way to 38. You will see that Job was complaining and lamenting for 35 pages. On the 35th page, he had one friend, Elihu, that spoke. When that one began to speak, he said, there is a spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives a man inspiration and all and all. When God came, God answered Job on chapter 35 or chapter 38. All your suffering has not meant anything until you hear the answer of God and he begins to talk to you inside it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is until God himself who has the answers, open the page. Sometimes you will be in the middle of something, one heavy trial, and your mind will be that this person is the cause of this thing. And you know one thing we like to do very well? When we are inside the middle of trial, we like to find who is responsible. Because it used to give us relief to know that this is our enemy. It's Mama Ibeji that started this problem. It's our fault. Because the flesh always wants to fight. And so you even enter prayer, you will say, thunder, we fire her, should we fall down? But in all the thunder, fire her, God is looking at you and saying, you don't understand. Mama Beji is not the issue here. The irony is that the Mama Beji you are even shouting may even be the one that is even praying for you that God help this my brother. Let him just pour in water. Many times, because we are so inside the fire and the thing is burning us, we will look at our enemy and call them our friend. Because many times in these things, the first person who will come and sit with you to hear your story is usually your enemy. So you will not get it. But many times, the first person that will react and come and sit with you is usually knows about the matter. And then they will be saying, all those things, but yet they are inside. Hallelujah. Unfortunately for many of us, because we have pampered this flesh so much, our life is about emotions. We are very emotional people. If you've ever heard about personalities, when they say, he's a choleric personality. Some of us, there are some of you that doesn't talk much. You need to keep things inside. Are you getting? And you say, because I didn't open my mouth to talk. Your heart has been speaking. For arrow has been flying in your heart every 10 minutes. That's not the one I'm saying. Are you getting? But many of us too, we are like this. We talk. I'm this type of person. I don't have anything to hide. Everything is just open. Now, no matter how you are in your personality, when you begin to become a born-again Christian and you begin to resemble Jesus, changes must take place in your life. Because one of the greatest challenges people like that have is that even their enemy know their secret. Before anything will really germinate to become anything, you have told the whole world your problem. Amen. You and your husband are having a problem. The whole garam know the matter. Because you have told the ABG, you have told this one, you have told everybody have chance, have been. And all of them will always give you advice. Nobody doesn't have, everybody have advice. Whether it's the correct thing or not, they will, I know one man of God like that. Everybody, even the Babalawos too now are prophets. I know one prophet, let me go and see him. He will help you in the solution. And from the no one prophet, because you open your mouth, you will end up in a worse situation because they will carry you into another thing. That God, Jesus that was there with you, you left him to go and be looking for solution. And then they will tell you, go and bring goat and come and slaughter. And then do this one and do. And they'll call his name 17 times and this and this and this. And before you know, both you and both him are even inside the worse pits than before. Because you opened your mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is trying to build a level of endurance in you. That even when the fire is burning, your first reaction will not be to begin to dance azonto to the challenge. Your first reaction will be to be calm first and look for Jesus around you first. Because when you come through that challenge, that thing alone is a testimony to the world around you. Because when people see what you are passing through in that situation, in that home, in that family, and yet your peace level still remains the same. There are people watching, you won't know they are watching. One day they will come and ask you, how are you managing to be calm like this? Hallelujah. He opened us his mouth. First consequence of opening up your mouth many times, through what you say, you will bind yourself into more trouble. Number one, most times when you open your mouth in trial that you are passing through, except that opening of your mouth is led by the Spirit, you will put yourself in more trouble. Because even the ones that didn't even know you were passing through it, you will alert the other ones that have been waiting since that door have opened. They too will come and join the matter, because the chance has opened now to finish you once and for all. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. You will bind yourself. Look at Proverbs. Somebody check Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19 very quickly. Proverbs 10, 19. Sorry, Bella. Your saliva has not bathed you finish. It's like that at times. Proverbs 10, 19.
Praise God.
Yes.
In the magnitude of words.
In the magnitude, in the multitude of words that is coming from your mouth after you have opened it.
Wanted not sin.
Sin is not far.
But he that refraineth.
Give me another version. But he that refraineth his lips is what? Is wise. Amen. You see, when you start opening your mouth to talk in the trial and in the challenge, many times, the more you are pouring out and talking, many times lie will enter. Many times false accusation will enter. Misrepresentation will enter. Why? Because you need them to be on your side. You need to justify yourself. And you also need sympathy. And so you want to win. You can look at two husband and wife fighting. It's difficult to enter their matter, because once you see it is only wife, as far as you know, the husband is a demon. It's true. We used to see it all the time in counseling. He's always the man is a demon. Rarely have I sat with somebody who took time to tell me that. Really, it's very rare that you will see somebody who will own their own parts and say, ah, we really fumbled. Because in my own, see, when we started, see how I started to do, and because I did like this now, I triggered our own and see where we are now. Very rare. It's only somebody that the Lord has really taken time to break, who will understand that the first principle is to remove the log in your eye first before you can see clear to remove the other one. It's a sign of discipleship that your own pride has been broken to a level where you can even recognize that you are not completely cleansed in the matter. Because one thing I've noticed about the Lord many times, when you report matter to him, he will not start tackling the matter first. He will first look at your own. I say, bros, but you to go and wash yourself first now. So number one, consequence of opening your mouth is often that you will tie yourself, because in the multitude of your speaking, look at what Job began to say. He said, I caused the day. Why did he begin to curse? The whole intention of God was to promote him and make him much greater than he was. Because after all, the Lord has testified about Job that he is the most righteous man on the earth. As at that time, the Lord was boasting about him. But because he wasn't seeing God himself the way God was seeing him, the minute the water passed Gary now, the next thing, he began to say, I caused the day. Which one brought curse inside? God was looking for blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Be very careful in opening your mouth when things come, because by the thing you speak, maybe even God just intended that wilderness to be 7 days. You can make it 40 days because of the utterances of your mouth. Because Satan too will come and join you and begin to walk. And even when God wants to stop him, he will say, I'm not doing anything. It is his. According to what he has declared, that is what I'm going to do. The more likely you are into sin.
If you are wise, you keep quiet.
So how do people like me and you keep quiet? Because me, I'm a talkative. No, I'm telling you. The other day, when he was telling me, explaining this matter to me, there was a day I was in church and I was leading this church group, and the Lord began to send me the word. He said, see, trial is coming on. He said, but you remember what Elisha, when he was following Elijah, and they were asking him, they said, your master is going to be taken up from you now. He said, hold your peace. He kept telling me, he said, hold your peace. Me too, I just, you know, and so I just took it, okay, no, wala. I didn't know when the problem would start, but the problem actually came and started like 3 months after. I was holding my peace quite all right. Month number one passed. By number two, the fire, they increased the gas, they increased the kerosene, the thing rose more. Things I've never done in my life, I heard people talking in the corner. False accusation from places. They say he's carrying this false wife. He went to crusade, to go and do crusade. He collected money. Many things. I say, shoo. I still continue to hold my mouth. I say, but after all, the Lord has said, hold your peace. I mean, thinking that by that second month the matter will come. Ha! When we enter month three, I didn't know. That's when I jammed trailer. Because I saw things. People that have labored for, people that have sacrificed everything in my hand to make sure that it was the same people that were carrying my matter in the back to say, I didn't know when mouth began to open that time. Before you know, I begin to, all the ones that were close to me, I begin to talk, morning to night, talk. After like 1 month of talking, and I remember the word of the Lord, hold your peace. But I don't. Do you know the problem now of doing that? The God who wanted to talk in your defense, who was waiting for his time so that he will now, like in the book of Job, he will now come and say, come on, Mechon, all of you. This my son, he didn't do. He won't have chance again because you are still on the floor talking. Hallelujah. Second implication of opening your mouth. Many times when you open your mouth, not only do you bind yourself, you bind others. Look at Job, he has started cursing. Many times when we open our mouth, the people who are near us are casualties. You see that pain? Pain used to lead to us to vent. When we vent, it creates trauma in the lives of those who are with us. Like particularly our children, because they are looking up to us. A child has always looked at his father as a role model. And he wants to be like this man and all. And all his mind, because when he's looking at the father, he's assuming how the relationship with God is. And you, because of the man and his foolishness, quite all right, the man is foolish. And so many things are on. But you can cover his nakedness. You understand? By closing your mouth so that your children can still, that image of fatherhood will not be shattered in them. You will not allow your flesh to chain it down. The next thing is just to begin to tell them that he's a very foolish man. After all, he has slept with Mama Ngozi there, and he has gone and slept with Mama Rita, and like that and like that. And the son now, who has been imagining the father, one, begins to understand that the man is a fallible man. But the second thing, he begins to change his picture of the man. And doing that, you won't know that in his heart, he will begin to understand that even God as a father is not faithful. So rebellion will begin to build in him. You won't know until he's 17, 18, 19. And he will begin to be wild and take drugs and begin to smoke Igbo and all those things. You will say, oh, why did he just become like that? His parents said, no, see, he started because somebody couldn't close their mouth. Hallelujah. He started because somebody couldn't close their mouth. And you know, the children being so curious, you get where they go here and reach, they to go and meet the father one day and say, but our mommy said that. We did it as children now, we know. And our mommy said, it will just fall out of their mouth one day. And the man too, lacking wisdom to comport himself that time and try and package the thing. You won't understand that, you see, in this marriage issue, as much as there may be trials, God has an agenda. He said about it, he said, children are a gift from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, baby. But children are his what? They are his heritage. So even if you and you want to scatter it, God is still waiting to inherit those children so he can bring something out of their life that will stand. But before he can get to the point where he takes them, you have begun to destroy them. Why? Because fire came and you could not hold your mouth. You couldn't hold your mouth because you didn't look for the fourth man in the fire. Who is the person you are meant to flow with? He is the one who has the capacity to receive everything because he knows you already in total and he can compensate you. And you know the interesting thing about Jesus? Many times I've discovered that when you begin to come to him with all this bundle, he doesn't need to talk much. One sentence is enough. He will finish you there. I've noticed that thing about him. It will not take long to be explaining himself. He will just tell you one. You will just, every word in your mouth will just dry because there is no answer to find anywhere. That's the answer, dear man. Hallelujah. When you open your mouth, you can bind yourself and make your suffering worse than before. Look at Joseph with everything. He has been doing so well. When he entered the jail, the next thing he decided that this thing is too much. Oga, when you go to Pharaoh, remember, tell him that there is a man that can do something. And yet it wasn't his time to come out. Was he not accused falsely? Was he not accused falsely? If it was you that Potiphar's wife laid claim against, what would you do? I can slap her on the spot, self, even as well, right there on the matter. The whole thing, we will scatter everywhere. Joseph didn't strike me as somebody that did like that. They bound him and took him inside and all. He went into all of it and all. But the target of God was that he was going to take him to the throne because he had to preserve a nation. There was a preservative element. There are some things you are passing through now, though they are not your fault. God is allowing it to be so that that price you are paying, if you pay it in righteousness, it will be a preservation for your children to come. They will not need to pass through some things anymore because you have already gone through it. But if you lack understanding, you will misfire. One day my wife, she was saying something. And I just looked at her and said, you don't know what you're enjoying. Your own grandfather in your village was the one that brought Ekwa. You know when people say, everybody's grandfather, most of us, our fathers were babalawos in one corner somewhere doing some kind of things. We know. That's why we are going through some of the things to battle through now. In our own case, if you see our family, no quarrel. My own family is volcano every other week. There's one new fight to settle. But in our own family, everything is so calm, so peaceful. So they handle things. You will never, never know. And one day she was saying, she doesn't understand my family. I said, how will you understand? Somebody went through something. He passed through what that man suffered to bring that Ekwa. He built it. He pastored the church. He disqualified him from so many things when his friends were becoming so many. He stood his ground to see that church we stand in that land. And God looked at him and said, because of this all sacrifice you have made, your generations that we enjoy, there will be a peace. And you are here now enjoying the peace. Because one man, he didn't open his mouth when some things were happening. Who told you they did not attack him? Who told you they did not face betrayals? Who told you they didn't call him names? But because, again, he was looking at somebody more than the thing going on, and that man is the same one who will stand with his children in front, he held his mouth. She was now silent. I said, you are enjoying the price that another man paid. Me too, I'm trying to pay my own now so that my children too will enjoy that. They will enjoy it. But the difference of my own is I will be telling my children, this thing you are enjoying is not for you. The price has been paid so that you will safeguard it and fight with you will keep it so that tomorrow if another person is trying to lure you into foolishness, he will say, no, our father laid his life on the ground so that you understand. We will not come and spoil the work he has done. Yes. That's part of where you two need to gather them. If you will open your mouth, it's counsel that should come out. Hallelujah. Jesus went to the cross. They took him to the cross. They nailed him. When they were nailing him to the cross, what happened? Insult was coming. They were calling him names. Did he go to MFM and begin to call fire down? Hallelujah. He opened his mouth. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they knoweth not what they do. Is this something you can do or have done? Hallelujah. And when you hear that his utterance, you now will begin to know whether you are even resembling him already. Look at your own trials you went through. Did your character resemble how he did his own on the cross? Because at the height of his pain, he was thinking of his mother's problem. If I leave this woman like this, she will not be able to cope. The next thing, he turned to John, his disciple. He said, John, every other person abandoned him now. So it's only John that was there now remaining. He said, John, behold your mother. Abi, mother, behold your son. He was still balancing another person's account, even though he was collecting the highest pain. Me, when I'm in pain, there is how you will touch me, I will react. In stone. You bring your brother, come and get out. My first reaction will always want to be to, do you understand? But with time, because of the help of the Lord, with time, you begin to understand that because you are in the middle of fire does not mean that other things should not happen. Your life can still glorify God even in that challenge. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Here is what you did not understand about that encounter. In a way, it can be God that sent him to you. Yes. No, let me explain how. No, listen. Let me explain how. You see, the weird thing about these things at times, this is where you need discernment. What he was really trying to say to you is, what the Lord was trying to say to you was, make up your mind. Do you want to live or are you tired? Decide. You won't, if you didn't look at it very well, you will look at the messenger and say, Meton. Do you understand? Because we always look at the messenger first. But you see, to become like Jesus, you need to leave the messenger matter and check what is in the heart first. And begin to wait. Because really, what he was trying to say to you, when I came here, what did I tell you? I said, there is still time. There is still time. And the thing that God had wanted for you from beginning, he is still, that offer is still on the table. If you will agree with him, it's still there. But here is the problem. As long as you are in half mind and you yourself are pampering the thing and allowing it to pamper you and giving it name. You know, I have one auntie like that. When she was down, she used to, you know this is my problem. I said, no, you have married the thing and named it myself. You know this is my problem. Sometimes God, that woman, that coming to say what he said might have looked like an insult. But in some ways, inside that thing, there was a message that was being passed. Are you getting what I'm saying? Make up your mind and decide, will I go or will I stay and live this life to the full and complete the purpose that God sent me for? It was a challenge. But again, because of, you see this flesh, once there is pain, we will leave the message, we will attack the messenger. It's always like that with all of us. And I said to the Lord the day when he was explaining this matter to me, I told him, I said, okay, so the pain is real now. He said, yes. He said, okay, where do we put the pain? Because we must put it somewhere. No, that's you. That's what I asked him. Because look, there is no magic inside this thing. You say we should not. You say, okay, we should not open our mouth. Okay, where will we put the pain? What he told me was, you have to mortify it with the flesh. That's what he said to me. He said, you have to mortify it with the flesh. Hallelujah. That many times when we open our mouth, it is still a sign. It is a sign that we are still bound emotionally and in our soul. Because we can't walk freely like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. And because we can't walk freely in the midst of the challenge, we are still bound somewhere. In our soul, in our emotions, we are bound. We are not fully free. Hallelujah. He explained to me that opening our mouth is often because we have an identity crisis. We are not yet sure of who we are and who we have. Because if you know who you are and who God is to you and your inheritance in him and all, there are very few things that can pain you in this life. If you really know who you are in Christ, are you getting what I'm saying? So even if they come to you tomorrow and say, see, I am looking like this tattered person that you are so poor and like, oh, you are this. One of our aunties called from village that they drove her out of the house and they were telling her that the man took over her land, took over her house and began to tell her that after all the children, all your children went and married paupers. They don't have any money. All of them are wretched. They can't even fight for you. Do you get the matter? That thing can pain you because you yourself have not yet known that who you are in Christ is higher than even all these things. Are you getting the matter? So when you have an identity crisis, there will be issues. He now explained that when we are looking about, we see everyone else, but we miss the main person. That is the fourth man in the fire. The purpose, the greatest thing you can do in your trial and your challenge, and I hate preaching these type of messages. Not that I hate it. Sometimes I discover that when you begin to preach a kind of message, I remember I was in the church one day, I was praying, I was preaching. The message was so sweet. Ah, everybody, fantastic message. You know, and the team, me too, I knew that this message really flowed. The Holy Spirit really helped. As I was rounding up the message to go and kneel down to pray and thank God, somebody was just clapping. I heard the clap, 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 clap. I turned, but it was in the spirit. I didn't see the person, but I heard the clapping. And then I heard the voice. He said, well done. He said, you preach very well. The message was very good. He said, but tomorrow, we will check you whether you yourself are compliant with this message. It was the devil. You know, he used to attend church with us too. He used to attend fellowship. Sure, you know. All this you're shouting now, he's a lie, he will be there. The only thing you can do is bind his operation, but you can't stop him from entering inside. And he said, we will test you. And truly, truly, sir, the next day, heavy challenge came. And so I began to go to the word. He said, look, we of these things that Jesus began to do and preach, that is what we are writing unto you. I began to look at myself. I said, after preaching all this message now, I cannot fall and meet you, I must stand. Hallelujah. Because you think that you are preaching, that they are not waiting for you. They are waiting for you. Amen. And he explained to me, sir, that the problem of Job was that his cho-cho-cho was too much, so much that he missed the fourth man. Amen. But when you get to Job 38:10, what did he say in Job 38? Job 38:10, there is a declaration that Job made there. Let me just round up the matter. Job 42, verse 5. Please read it. Read it from Good News. Job 42, 5. No, she will read this for us. Job 42, verse 5. The final of the matter. Oh, yeah. Oh, our ears have been hearing of you.
But now my eyes have seen you.
Everybody say, but now. Read your own KJV. What does it say?
I've heard of thee.
I have heard of thee. See, formerly, in my Christian walk, in my discipleship, in my going to church, in my being a member of this church for 30 years, I have been hearing about this Jesus. I've been hearing about him. I've been hearing about what he did for me on the cross, who he is and what he will do. All I've been doing is hearing by him, by the hearing and what people have been saying. But Job, the same Job that God said was a righteous man, he graduated from one level to another level. He said, but now. Do you know what that difference is? It's a change in revelation. You can be in church for 30 years and you're still on the same page of revelation of who Christ is. You are still hearing him by theory, but he has not become real to you. Many people are still with us in church, but they cannot tell you what the voice of the Lord sounds like. It's a page. Job said that for 38 chapters, I've been hearing of you. He said, but now, I've gone from hearing. Now, I'm seeing you. You are less likely to make mistake of somebody that you are seeing than just the person you are hearing alone. What caused him to make that transition? What caused him to make that transition? You see, that transition he made, it was maturity. And sometimes there are some level of maturity that will not come except you go through some trials. There's a level of maturity you cannot get to. And sometimes when God allows certain trials to come, he's looking how to mature you through the thing. When you put gold inside fire, the idea is to do it so that all the... You see how this is your cho-cho-cho-cho-cho-cho-cho-cho. It's all the thing that is washing out of your system. It's the dross that is coming out of the silver. Sometimes God allows it so that it can purge you of all your mess. But the hope is that you will get to a chapter like Job where you will finally become silent. Because when God himself came, he said, who is this that darkness counsel? Can have danced wisdom with counsel. He began to, he said, where were you when I formed the earth and when I did like this? Job didn't have answer. He began to say, this God, I've been hearing of you all these years, truly. But I didn't know that I was so foolish, I didn't even know anything. You can even be the pastor and you have not even known anything yet. But sometimes how you begin to graduate to know things is when you pass through some trial. But the key thing is not just passing through the trial, it's passing through the trial well. The way Jesus passed through it. Because when you are calm and you are quiet, you will see what others have been missing. And it is the fourth man that is there. I passed through a trial one time like that. The thing was so hot. But while in the middle of the heat, I just saw him in the corner with me and he told me, he said, the purpose of this thing is to enjoy you. He said, remember, he said, okay, let me not even tell you that one. I was in the middle of this thing. I was in my house. The person I was staying with, I noticed that anytime I stay with him, once I get up in the night to pray, and I do my prayer, my fasting, and anything, morning time like this, there'll be fire, the house will be hot. Quarrel must come. And this particular night, I did my praise, I prayed. The next thing, I just heard my door banging. Bah, 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 bah. I said, well, what is it now? I went and opened my door. The man charged inside, started shouting. Why did I do this? I said, what did I do? He began to talk so many things. I didn't know when me myself, I exploded. I began to react. I said, what's all this you're shouting now? We began to exchange shout, 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 quarrel. He said, I blocked his car. He couldn't move out in the morning. This is just a common blocking of car. While we're in the middle of the hot argument, I just noticed a flash of light in the corner of my eye. As I turned, it was Jesus. He walked in through the wall like this. Yeah, I was here arguing with the man. And Jesus was standing next to me. And he looked at me. He was just looking at me like this. There is a look he will give you that you yourself, you don't need to, he doesn't need to ask, you already know. The next thing I told to him, I said, well, it's not my fault now. I said, it's not my fault. Because the way he was looking at me, I know that he came for something. I said, it's not my fault. I was on my own JJ now. And the man just came and I've already started defending myself. Who do you know that defended himself like that in the garden? Adam. God hasn't asked him anything yet. He said, I went and hid myself. He said, hey, do you see how our flesh is? Jesus now looked at me. He said to me, Have you not learned anything by now? I said, well, learn how now? After all, I've been trying all this while to keep everything. He said, okay. He said, what is your expectation this week? And I've been doing contracts that season. MTN, big contracts. Money was entering. Big contracts. MTN, UBA, before it is allowed came into the country, they were looking for consultants. Everything was flying. I said, oh, they are my checks, my payments, this, you know. He said, okay, lift up your head and look. Meanwhile, the man was still shouting in my front, oh, we're in the spirit. He said, look over there. As I lifted up my head to look, what did I see? A door open with a thief packing things. I said, oh, that's a thief now. He said, yes. I said, so how? He said, let me explain something to you. He said, you see this man that is shouting at you? If you ask him the reason for this quarrel, he doesn't know. I said, how? He said, you see, the enemy had a target. He know that if he come to you direct, you will surge. But because this man, you know, there is always somebody in your life that is your weak point. Many people can, you can shout, I will not answer you and you will not provoke me. But there will be somebody near you that, you know, that person is very close to your blood. When I don't already, the normal mode now fight. So at times, even if you not talk, if you just near you like this, your body don't be hot. The first thing you go talk, wait. You know, that's the kind of person. You always have that relationship now. You will have 50 people in church who will not be able to provoke you, but this one person. Make it all greet your parent like this now, fight. And that's how this person was for me. And he said to me, he said, because the enemy know that this is your weak point, you know what he did? He was doing his own thing upstairs. Oh. He went and he took him injection. Bam. As he took him the injection, the next thing he woke up, he said, Wale. He just went downstairs, proper. It's a terrifying. He said the whole thing was a distraction. The idea, the Bible says that, and he quoted the scripture, a man who cannot control his spirit is like a city without walls. He said, immediately the man triggered you and you explode. He said, the door opened and the thief entered. He said, watch what will happen to you this week. As I turned, he just left. And truly, that week, MTN has paid us our... They used to ask us 1 week before our check is due. We're expecting your check. Bring your invoice. Bring this. So they never failed to pay in all the time we've been working for them. But that week, after that quarter, every check began to suspend and to cease. And where we're having problem, our chairman said this one, comma began to enter everywhere. Trial came, sir. The fire began to burn. I did not do like Jesus. What would have helped me would have been to be silent. If I kept quiet for another 20 minutes, the man would have run out of steam and just ended up leaving. And I will still collect my check of 50 million the next week. Who is better? Abi? Now me still better now. But because this flesh had not died and I have not crucified it, devil too, when the Bible says no weapon fashioned against you, they don't study you where they know your weak points. So if this man is the one that is your weak point or this woman, that one was argument. It can be another thing. It can be a man that used to romance you very well. Once he send you text, honey, how you there? And give you credit your bank account. You will first leave Christianity and Bible one side first. He has entered you. Hallelujah. And you know what happened to me? For 3 years after that incident, cupboard did not enter. I really saw trial. Who caused the problem? May the Lord help us. Amen. You know one thing that will happen again in the future, or something that happened again years later. The Lord wanted to test whether I was ready for the next dimension. The same man. This is about 10 years after. Another quarrel came again. But after 3.5 years of suffering that one, my eye clear. They don't need to tell me again. So when this thing, even in his coming, I don't zero my mind already. Nothing where this man go talk. My body not go do pem. And he calls, he throw, even if he abuse my mama to the last, he don't mean anything because waiting there my front pass, waiting you the bring come. And the man really brought the problem. But I realized at that point that the prince of this world, he cometh, but he had nothing in me. Sometimes what is keeping you in one place is not because of the wicked people and the enemy. It's simply because there is a test you are meant to pass. And that test is that suffer well like Jesus. That the trial has come, don't open your mouth. If you open your mouth, open it in a manner that glorifies God. You say, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Abi? You say it is finished. When he was telling me this thing 2 days ago, it was for me. Oh. This thing he was explaining to me. And as he was explaining it to me, I began to review my life, all the trial I've been through and all the cho-cho-cho I've done to see how many I've passed, how many I've failed. And I began to say to him, I hope you're not preparing another challenge in front of you because now, rest, I don't want trial again. But the point really he was trying to make to me was, and when I now challenged him, Yabiji, he said to me, he said, there's still one level I want to settle your matter. But I began to pray one prayer. I told him, I said, Baba, when I look back and I see all the history of all the mistake, all the missed opportunities that you set up for me, opportunity you set up for me to resemble Jesus and be calm and suffer accusation without cry, without fighting back and attack. He explained something to me. He said, do you know that they were stoning Stephen? And that in the middle of the stoning, he didn't feel the pain. He was looking into heaven and seeing the Lord on the throne. He said it was not a mistake. If they stone me now, will my eye be open to see heaven? Or am I carrying my own stone to fire back? Is the next question. No, it's the truth now. You see something so small like that, that thing is so big to God because character, where who you are is more important than where he's taking you to. Once he look at you now and you are set to the level that for him to carry you and put you on the throne is less than 10 seconds it will take. But the preparation can take 10 years. And so me, I began to pray a prayer that day. I said, Lord, I know I fumbled very well. This one, I will not lie. I've missed many opportunities. But the first thing I beg you is that all the ones that I fumbled, and because of that fumbling, many things were lost. Help me to recover first. Help me begin to recover all again. Hallelujah. And then any other gap that remain in me now, between where I am now and the Jesus you want me to resemble, help me to close that gap. So that you can set me on the throne and one small thing will not make me to stumble. I say, Lord, teach me to suffer well. Hallelujah. And you know how he explained to me the last thing I will say to you? The best thing that can help you to suffer well, not, there are three things. One is your level of consecration. Hallelujah. Carry your cross. Die to your flesh. Let your flesh die. Amen. Sometimes that person that is tormenting you, your neighbor that is talking all manner of talk, is actually discipling you and helping you. Amen. Sometimes that husband that is calling you names, as much as he may mean it himself or to say some things nasty, but if you focus on Jesus, Jesus can use that thing to train you. Where, you know, the people we talk now, it will not mean anything again. They can call you anything they want to call you, it will not mean anything. Hallelujah. So consecration, number one. Mommy, call a second thing, have the right company with you. Job had three men, three of his friends, and they did not contribute one single thing that had meaning. Even when God returned to talk to him now, God condemned everything those three people said, but he did not condemn what Elihu, the Buzite, said. If you look at chapter 38. Because Elihu said, I am young and I thought that age should speak. But there is a spirit in man, the breath of the Almighty, that giveth him understanding. It is better for you to have one Elihu with you in the place of suffering than to have three others that don't have any discernment. Because that Elihu with you, when the thing begins to burn, is the one that will tell you, pray, my baby, calm down. No, this thing where they look, not be as you they see. See how the thing be. Now you go first pour you the water, you go, your body go calm. Because he pour you the water, you're not going to make the mistake where you're supposed to make. Enter that. Hallelujah. And then the third thing is that you should stay in the word. To stay in the world. May the Lord help us. In fact, he has been helping us. May we be wise to how he has been helping us so that we can key in and pass everything that is remaining to pass. May he teach you to suffer well. I'm not praying for suffer this year, you know, because APC has done us very well in this country. Hallelujah. But I'm still praying that the character of Jesus we need to manifest in the midst of that suffering. Let us carry it very well. So that out of it, the Lord can come out, bring gold out of our life. Ask any question you have before we close.